welcome to this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
It's a new year, 2020, a new decade even. I was looking at something the other day that said those who were born in the 70s have now lived through six different decades. And two centuries and two millenniums, and probably some of you have even had a few more than that. But a new year, yeah, that's right, by God's grace. And some of you have kind of got all that stuff ahead of you, which is really exciting. But one of the things that a new year tends to do is it tends to kind of have us, it's a great opportunity, isn't it, for us to kind of stop and reevaluate and kind of go, where are we going? And it's why we have all of the, you know, you see all the memes and all the things on social media about New Year's resolutions. And I've discovered that there are three kind of different groups of people, if you like, when it comes to New Year's resolutions. So there are three different kinds of groups of people. And I've got some pictures here, so I think you need to see the pictures. But the first group of people is the optimistic people. Now, these are the people that continue to set New Year's resolutions. And it doesn't matter how many times they've set them in the past and they've failed at them, they continue to kind of go, This year's going to be the year when I get it all and it all happens and I keep all my resolutions and I lose weight and I do more exercise and I drink more water and I quit smoking and I get to bed earlier and all those kind of things. Pay off the credit cards and all that kind of stuff. So they're the eternal optimists. They're always believing, always hopeful that this year's going to be different. This year's going to be the year when it all works and when I actually stick to it. All right. Then there's the next group of people that have given up completely. All right. You can't break your New Year's resolutions if you don't make any. All right. And then there's a third group of people that reckon that they've hacked the system. They reckon they've got it figured out a way. And that's to make New Year's resolutions that are easy to keep. New Year's resolution this year, take more naps. Most of us, I guess, are kind of, apart from maybe the people in the first group, but even them probably at least a little bit, understand that making a New Year's resolution doesn't very often result in actual real change to our lives, doesn't very often result in long-term, lasting, real, significant difference. Now, why is that? And one of the things that I think is probably, you know, if I'm being really blunt and honest with you guys this morning, one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions, even sometimes when we keep them, which is pretty rare, but even when that happens, sometimes it doesn't actually make a great deal of significant change to our life. Sometimes it can change up our routines a little bit, but in the end, kind of life is still life. And one of the reasons why New Year's resolutions and the things that we decide to try to change in our lives don't result in any significant real change is that we're not smart enough. We actually lack the wisdom to get it right. Now, New Year's resolutions are essentially an effort, a desire to reallocate or to reprioritize where we're putting our effort and our energy. To reprioritize things that we feel like have been neglected, that we probably should have done more of, or whatever, or that should have had a higher priority in our life, isn't it? That's essentially what we're trying to do, is we're trying to reprioritize and figure out the things. But how do we decide what those things are? How do we decide what are the things that are actually going to bring real significant change, that are actually going to make our life better and not just slightly different? And that's the issue that we have. Now, to be fair to you and to me, we actually have a bit of a handicap when it comes to making these kind of decisions, because we can't see the future. If we could actually see and know what the future held, then we would have a better ability, we would have a greater wisdom in actually being able to go, well, if I prioritise and put energy and effort into this area, that's actually going to make my life significantly better, because this is going to happen and that's going to happen, and wouldn't that make things easier? Anybody here ever wish that they could know what the future held for them? I think we do, don't we?
Yeah.
But the thing is that we don't. So what I wanted to kind of suggest this morning and kind of talk about is, instead of another year of us deciding where, you know, in our wisdom and according to our intellect, where we think we should be focusing our efforts and our energy and our resources, why don't we ask God what he thinks we should be doing? What does God want for me in 2020? Where does God want you to be investing your time? Where does God want you to be investing your money? Where does God want you to be investing your energy and your effort? Because here's what the Bible tells us. It tells us that if you need wisdom, and what's wisdom, right? Wisdom is being able to make good choices, isn't it? You know, probably most of you have heard my definition of wisdom, or the difference, I should say, the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Anybody not remember? Knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in your fruit salad. So wisdom is this ability to make the right choice. So the Bible tells us in James 1 verse 5, it says, if you need wisdom, if you need to know the right choices to make for your life, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. What the scripture says to me is that God will help us to make the right choices. He will help us to prioritize the right things and invest our resources, our time, our effort, our money, all of that kind of stuff, our emotions, to invest them in the right areas that will actually bring real change. Now, for some of us, and I think I include myself at times in this as well, this is a scary thing. And we kind of go, because it's a bit of giving up control, isn't it? It's a bit of letting go of my ability to determine the course of my fate. So much of our society says, you don't let anybody run your life for you. Isn't that what society tells us? Well, our Western society says, you be in control, you call the shots, don't let anybody have mastery or dictate to you what your decisions ought to be. That's pretty standard, isn't it? But this is opposite to what God actually tells us. And so we kind of have to get our heads and be continually getting our heads around the fact that surrendering to God is not a bad thing. Surrendering to God is not something that we have to be afraid or fearful of. And we have to ask this question, why should I trust God with this? Why should I trust God with these decisions about where I invest myself this year, about what I prioritize this year? After all, God could say anything. What if God tells me to do something I don't want to do? What if God tells me to invest in something over here when I really want to do it over there? And we have this whole thing about letting go of control. But here I want to give you three reasons why you should trust God with this. Number one, your life is not your own. You surrendered that right to be in control when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, as your Master. You gave up that right to call the shots on that day and in that moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to him. So your life is not your own. Reason number two, God's wiser than you. It sounds obvious, doesn't it? It sounds obvious, but how many times do we say to God, God, you got this one wrong? How many times do we say to God, God, I really think you should have done it this way? And it's almost like our head says, yes, I know that God is wiser than me, but our heart says, but I really think he's got it wrong this time. I really think that I know better in this situation. And it's kind of this contradiction, and it's this area that we've got to continually remind ourselves of this, don't we? And we've got to continually come back to this idea that God is wiser than us. God is able to make better decisions for us than what we can for ourselves. And part of that is because he can see what's going to happen ahead. He can see the future. He does know. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." I like this translation in the New Living Translation. You probably remember, if you're familiar with this verse, some other translations say, "My ways are higher than your ways." Do you remember that one? But I like this because it carries that concept of, it's not just a little bit higher, it's not just measurably higher, it's actually immeasurably higher. And God's ways are immeasurably higher, far beyond anything that you could even imagine. And I like that because I think that puts a good perspective on what this verse is actually saying to us. It's not saying anything different, like higher is higher, right? but I think this verse helps me to kind of put that into perspective. Because my mind goes, oh, well, if I'm here and God's higher, then he's probably up here. You know, or maybe if I'm, you know, oh, I'm up there, you know, but it's like, no, he's like up in the heavens. I think then the next verse it even goes on and says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. So God is wiser than you. I'm sorry to break it to you this morning. God is wiser than you. Okay, reason number three, so your life is not your own. Number two, God is wiser than you. And number three, God actually wants what is best for you. God actually wants what's best for you. And we have a Bible that is absolutely full, chock to the brim, of God telling us how much he wants good for us, of how much he loves us, and how much he cares for us. And I think, for me, if I even grasped a fraction of how much God loved me, then I would have absolutely no problems trusting him with a whole bunch of decisions in my life. Because that changes things, doesn't it? It's not enough to just have a God who is smarter and wiser, because he could have ulterior motives. He could have selfish motives. He could have motives that that don't work for us but work for, you know, other people or something like that. If that was the case, if we didn't have a God who loved us and who loved you and knows you personally and cares for you. And that's why this point kind of changes or puts those other points into the, when we take those in the context of God's love for us, and understand that not only does God know what's going to happen in the future and is able to make wise choices, but he makes those wise choices with our best interest at heart. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, a familiar verse, says, "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, plans to give you a future and a hope." Psalm 37, I haven't got it on the screen, but Psalm 37 talks about how God gives you the desires of your heart. And so we have a God who is not going to take you and put you into a situation where you're going to be miserable. He's not going to call you to a life for which you're not equipped or which you're not suited. He's not going to call us to a life that is unfulfilling or unsatisfying. He's not going to take away our joy. There might be times when we've put our joy or our hope or our trust in the wrong things, and sometimes he needs to take away those things so that we actually come back to him as the source of our joy and the source of our hope and the source of our confidence. But God is not out to make you miserable. That is not his desire. His desire is that you would have joy. His desire is that you would have an awesome life that is connected to him, that you would know joy, that you would know peace. That's why he gives us his spirit, where these things come from. say too that although our tendency is often to evaluate these things at this time of the year, listening to God and allowing God to reevaluate or reprioritize is actually not a like a once a year kind of thing. All right, look at this little picture I've got here. You don't need a new year to make a change. All you need is a Monday or a Sunday, maybe, or a today. Okay, this is not like a only a new year kind of thing. What was that? A Friday. That's right. So, we need to be actually open to God at all kinds of times. Now, I'm not saying that, we shouldn't allow ourselves to do this at New Year and it's great to feel like we start off with New Year, but how many of you know that if we only ever reevaluated, if we only ever reprioritized at New Year, we would live a very large portion of our year with bad priorities, wouldn't we? Because we slide, we slip, we forget, we get slack, things change, things get busy, and this needs to be a continual process for us of reevaluating, of coming back to God and going, God, have my priorities got out of whack anywhere? Because have you ever noticed, you ever been driving a car and you're going somewhere and you kind of lose your way a bit? Now, it's kind of a little bit harder these days because we've got GPSs and things that kind of tell us where to go. But even GPSs aren't foolproof, are they? How many of you ever had a GPS lead you down a street only to find that it's been blocked off and they haven't updated the map or something and you've got to turn around and go another way? But it's a lot easier to get back on the right track that you're supposed to be on when you're only a little way off. Once you've driven for an hour and a half in the wrong direction, it's not easy to get back to where you're supposed to be, is it? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, a few of you have. A few of you that are mature enough to have lived before GPSs were in every car, right? And you take a wrong turn somewhere and you're driving away and you're driving away and you're driving away and you think, hang on a minute. That's not where I'm. I've gotten a wrong road somewhere. I'm heading east, and I should have been heading west. Or and you got to turn around, you got to backtrack, and you waste a lot of time, and you waste a lot of petrol doing that. Don't you? And if you could have realised that sooner, it would have been easier to get back on track. And sometimes our lives are a little bit like that. The sooner we recognise, the easier it is to make that change. The longer we've lived with bad priorities, the harder it is for us to make a change. Old habits die hard. There's truth in that statement, isn't there? Okay, so reevaluating, I want to challenge you today to work out, what does God want for me this year? So how do we know? How can we figure out that? Now, I'm actually going to hand over to Kerry. So Kerry's just going to talk a little bit about some things that she's discovered and some things that she's prepared to talk to you about how we can know what it is that God wants for us. Thanks, Kerry.
So how can we know what God wants for us? We need to ask him. Yeah? How do we know what he wants for us if we don't ask him first? So we need to ask God what he wants for us. So we need to pray. So a lot of us, some people go, okay, if I'm going to go to a prayer meeting, am I going to be expected to pray for hours? Or if someone's asked me to pray about something, how long do I need to do it? And one of these things that I talk about when I do relationship counselling with people is one of the love languages, and that is quality time. And quality time isn't quantity necessarily, but some people feel really loved when they have quality time, which is undistracted time So, you know, like, probably away from distractions from these things, phones and TVs or whatever. And I think the same is with God, is that to ask God what he wants for us and to spend time in prayer with him, we need quality time with him. So we don't necessarily need to go off and pray for 2 hours to find out what God wants for us. And one of the things that I do is I go for a walk. I'd like to say every day. I try to go for a walk every day, but it doesn't always work out. And that's my time with God. So I'm praying while I'm walking, and there's less distractions and all that kind of stuff. And so I suppose it's about you finding a time, a place, where you can pray and you can ask God without some of those everyday distractions and giving him quality time. And when we pray, it's about how we pray. It's about asking, when we want to ask God for what he wants for us for the year, it's about asking him. We can ask for specifics if we want to. You're going to like this. I was telling Caleb these things last night, and then he put all the same letter to them. So here it goes. Are you ready? Asking specifics for me as a person, a parent, a partner, and a pastor. Did you like that? They were started with P. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. All right, it was a bit of fun to go with that. But so it's like asking for specifics in my life. Okay, God, what do you want for me in this area? And I'm saying this one separately because it doesn't start with P, but finances also comes into that as well. Okay, so we also then, if we're asking him, we need to listen. We need to stop talking. Easier for some than others. We need to stop talking. We need to listen. And sometimes we can, you know, we can stop for a little while and we're listening and we're going, okay, now what? And so this kind of comes in practicing how to hear from God. And how we hear from God can be different for different people. You know, maybe you're reading your Bible and a verse just jumps at you and you go, ah, that's it. That's what God is showing you. For some people, it can be, you know, it can be a vision. They see something about it, and that's from God. Maybe it's something in your thoughts. Perhaps it may be a prophecy from somebody else that you hear from. When we're asking God for those things, you know how, like, when that thought comes and you stop and you go, was that me? Or was that God? Like, it's so hard sometimes, isn't it, to know. Is it me or is it God? But what I want to encourage you in is that God usually speaks to us with things that are positive and that are encouraging. Yes, he does sometimes go, okay, you need to forgive that person. And he does give us, you know, some conviction and stuff over things. But he generally gives us positives and encouragement. Now, yes, there have been times when I've gone, hey, I think that God wants me to do this year. And I'll talk to Caleb about it. And he's like, sometimes he can be pretty unenthusiastic about things. Sometimes it's a little bit annoying. But and so then, you know, like, so it's about also going, like, and finding a mentor or somebody else to like, as godly counsel. And to see what they say. And sometimes they'll be like, you know, they might not be as encouraging or whatever. But we don't always have to go on that either. We need to go back to God and say, okay, God, is that what you want for me? And then we wait on him. And so sometimes there can be a good thought we can have, and we can try and go ahead with it, and it kind of doesn't work. And then we kind of know, okay, well, maybe that wasn't quite my thoughts. But then there are other thoughts that come that going to explain, it's just like this peace. It sits right. It feels right. And so God will always give us that peace. Did you make a scripture thing for me? Oh, no? Oh, okay. All right. Oh, I have to do my own PowerPoint. So I don't have a PowerPoint for the scripture. So if you have your Bible, you can pull out your Bible. Philippians 4, verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. When God is speaking to us and asking us to do things, we might have that moment where we go, I don't like that idea. That might be too hard. But at the same time, there's a peace that comes with it where we just know that we have to do it. And so I encourage you to look for that peace that God gives you about something. And one thing I've written here, because what Caleb showed, that I had the scripture all ready to go in James 1, right? So Caleb showed that first part of that scripture in James 1. So I'm going to go back to it. How it said, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Then, but when you ask, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. And so when God says something to you and you know for sure that he's talking to you, what can we often do with that peace? You think, I'm not supposed to feel this good about this. This is a stressful thing. And so we try to stress about it again. Is anyone with me on that? Okay, all right. Okay, good. I'm not alone on that one. Because, this peace that surpasses all understanding is sometimes not a normal feeling, right? And so we often then go, perhaps I'm supposed to be worrying about this, and what am I supposed to do, and how am I supposed to do this? So I want to encourage you that when you get that peace, when God tells you to do something, to just let that settle and to stay with it and to not try to make excuses and to find ways to get stressed about it. I'm really good at that. Okay. So I want to give you an example for myself. Last year, see, I'm not a New Year's resolution person. I don't know why. I don't know. It's just I've grown up like that. I've kind of all just been like, rightio. I don't generally get up like at the start of the year and go, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm like, I want this, and I want this goal, and I want this goal. But last year, what I did do is I went, okay, God, what do you want for me for this year? And I started praying and asking God, what does he want me to do with the kids? Because the kids all wanted to do all of these extracurricular activities, which meant more finances to be put into stuff. It meant more running around, and I wasn't quite sure whether I could cope with all of that, and plus all of the work and the jobs that I do outside of family. And so I just started to ask God, what do you want? And just, it was almost instant as I asked him, this is one of those moments where I felt that God answered me straight away, was he said, I want the kids to be the priority this year. Over ministry, over working, let them be the priority. And so I felt that was his answer to say, yes, let Hannah do dance classes. Not as many as she wanted. But there was still a balance. But she's not the only one. Sorry, Hannah, to pick on you. So I felt that God had said yes to that, which meant, okay, that he was going to then provide the finances to do that as well. And so I just felt that peace settling. And went and sought godly counsel. I went to talk to my pastor. And, and you know, and Caleb was like, he was there with me on that. And so for the year, that made it so much easier for me than the previous year to run around and to go back and forth from our house to downtown and back and all of the other things that needed to be done and people starting jobs and all of that. And yes, sometimes I got tired, but I wasn't always as tired as what I was the previous year. Before, it was just like hard work. I was doing it in my own strength. Whereas this year, I felt like God had said, yes, that's what I want you to do. That's your priority. And so when it came to making decisions between the kids and perhaps like church, whether it was worship ministry or children's ministry, I knew that I had to make the decision for the kids first. And I was a little bit stressed about that and what that would look like for the year. And whether, you know, people here in church would get upset with me if there were things I wasn't doing. But what I found was that it seemed to all balance out. It's like nothing missed out. It was like, for example, at the end of last year, with Hannah and Katie were in the dance concert, and so that means that sometimes on a Sunday they have practices. Well, that would mean then that I would have to run them back and forth and that I might not be able to do children's ministry. But this year, God worked it out. All of their practices ended up being after church. I think all of them. I think there might have been one, maybe. There was one that Hannah had to go for earlier in the morning. So she got dropped off earlier. And I didn't have to go or get out, you know, through church. So then I could do worship, and then I did children's church, and nothing was interrupted. And so I suppose that's just an example of going, well, just walking and stepping in what God had asked me to do, I saw things just work out, that God worked out all the details. And he worked out all the finances too, because there was a point there halfway through the year that I went, oh, I don't think we're going to be able to pay all the fees for all of this stuff. And then tax return time came and God provided. And so, you know, like, it was just like, he just provided in that, in when I asked him what he wanted for me for this year in that area. And that's just, I suppose, one of the areas that I asked him to work out. One of the things that I did want to mention and go back to when we're taking time to listen is that we can also, spending that time in prayer and spending that time in stopping and listening, we can also choose to fast. And maybe it's something you haven't tried before. So I would really encourage you to do some research on it. Caleb has a great book. Ask Caleb for a book about fasting. But that sacrifice in giving something up and praying really can make a difference. And it draws you closer to God. It's hard work. And if you've never fasted before, I would not recommend going on a week fast from food. But, you know, like sometimes there are other things that other than food that you can fast. And I know that, you know, I did a fast from technology, phone, other than answering calls and stuff. That's really hard to do when, especially if you're a Facebooker. And stuff like that. And we no longer can say, I don't have time to spend with you, God, because we sit down and we spend time on this, don't we? And I don't like this very much. My kids know that. But not just that, but there are other things. You know, God might say, okay, here, start a fast, a small fast. Maybe something, you know, kind of mentioned chocolate, you know, maybe something you're a little bit addicted to, which is hard work, it's hard to do, but when you're praying instead of scrolling in those moments, you kind of realize how much closer that can bring you to God and how you can get some of the answers that you need. And they might not always come straight away, but God is there in that moment, feel closer and maybe gives you different answers to than what you're looking for. So, Caleb was checking his watch before. I think I might have talked for long enough.
All right. Thank you, Kerry. All right, I have just a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to finish. But just like Kerry was just, as she just finished then, sometimes God doesn't always do things in the way that we expect. So, this is the first of the scriptures. There's a couple of scriptures from Proverbs chapter 16. You might know this one. It says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." And there's a similar verse at the end of that same chapter that says, "We may throw the dice, but the Lord determines how they fall." Now, there's nothing wrong with planning. It's absolutely, Proverbs is full of encouragement to be wise in planning and being prepared and not just, you know, letting things happen to you. And I'm not saying that planning is bad, but ultimately, even if we do all the things that we've been talking about this morning, even if you go away and you pray and you hear from God and God says, "Here's what I want you to prioritize," and you make some awesome godly plans to do those things, there is no guarantee that those things are going to work out the way that you think that they're going to work out. Often we can be really focused on the temporary things of life, our house, our car, our bank account, our body, all those kinds of things that are temporary, when God is actually concerned far more with what's eternal. And so we have these kind of, we think God is doing a certain thing, or when God gives us a certain instruction or priority or direction, we think that we know what he wants to accomplish through that. Sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes when we obey God, things don't necessarily always work out nice and comfortable for us in our life, do they? But God does always do things for our good. Sometimes obeying God brings us to places of challenge because they're things that God wants to teach us in those challenges, ways that God wants us to grow in those challenges. And so obeying God can actually lead us into places of lack at times, like places where we're struggling and we're doing it tough, because God wants us to learn that he's our provider and that we, in him, we have everything we need. So obeying God doesn't always mean that your bank account's going to be healthy. So it's just really, really disappointing when I learned this. Sometimes obeying God means that he leads us into places of danger so that we can learn that he is our protector and that he will watch over us and keep us. Sometimes obeying God leads us into places of loneliness so that we can learn that he is our loving father and that his approval and his love matters more than the approval and love of others. Isn't that encouraging? Okay, so our challenge for this week is to set aside some time. I didn't know you were going to get homework today, did you? Like Kerry was talking about before, set aside some time to talk to God, to listen to God, to say, "God, what do you want from me this year? How do you want me to prioritize my life this year? What things do you want to be a focus for me this year? Are there new challenges? Are there new things that you want me to undertake? Are there changes to my priorities that I need to make?" Spend some time listening. Write down some stuff. Record it. Because if you're anything like me, in 2 weeks' time, you'll have completely forgotten. And you'll need to go back and remind yourself about what God said to you. And it will be wonderfully encouraging to go back and reread those things and remind yourself that God gave me some direction and God confirmed some things and God spoke to me. All right, can we stand together as we close this morning? I want us to pray together. and ask God to help us with this. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have called us into your family. You call us your sons and your daughters. You love us and you care for us and you have awesome plans for each and every one of us, individually and together as a church. You have an awesome plan for us for this year. And Father, we pray that you would help us to hear your voice, to hear you leading and calling and directing and guiding us as we seek to know what you want, as we seek to be faithful in following you and being obedient to you, our King. And so, Jesus, I pray for each one of us here this morning as we commit to doing this, as we commit to saying, I want to know what God's plan is, because it's going to be better than what I could come up with on my own. We want to seek you. We want to know. We want to hear your voice. And we want to be obedient and follow as best as we can. Lord, teach us and lead us and help us in that as we commit to growing and learning from you. Holy Spirit, take us on. Help us to hear your voice and to know what you're saying to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.